How many had a fabulous week? Handful of you. Cool. How many had a week? Yeah. How many of you, thank you, Jesus, it's over week? Well, can I just tell you something? You're all in the right place because we're here to praise Jesus and glorify him and worship him. And we're excited to be here. If you're a guest with us, my name is Dave and I'm the lead pastor here. And I just got to say that if you're looking for a place to land for a church, you found the right spot. Welcome home. I love New Life. And one of the reasons I love New Life, one of the many, many reasons, is because everyone's welcome. And we believe in that we don't do life alone. And we're just excited for you to be here. If you have any questions or anything like that, you can grab a hold of Steve and Sarah that'll be at the Welcome Center. They know everything there is to know. And they will answer your questions. So we're just excited to be here. I love the last Sunday of the month for quite a few reasons. The main one is that it's our family service. And what that means, if you're a guest with us, is our kids' ministry comes upstairs and we get to worship Jesus together as families. You know, we believe in meeting the needs of children right where they are when it comes to learning about Jesus and the Bible. But there's just something about when we come together and we worship God together that they can learn from us and we can learn from them. And it's exciting, right? So the other thing that I'm excited about today is it's water baptism day. We've got four people that we're going to baptize here in a few moments. That's right. that's funny. But we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. It is a special thing, and it is one of the key fundamental foundations of the Christian faith is water baptism. And so it's a significant and powerful and life-altering experience for a believer if they truly understand what the purpose of it is. Now, I know that there are probably many different views of water baptism, and that is perfectly fine. We all come from different walks of life and different faith background and those kinds of things, but we're going to walk through what the Bible says about baptism. And I'm excited, and why it's so significant. And I believe there's four reasons why water baptism is significant. And if you're a note taker, here's number one. You ready? Water baptism is a command, not an option. It's a command. Let's look at scripture. And if you're a guest with us, here's the thing. We got all our New Life kids. Raise your hand, New Life kids. We do this thing called Bible Head Challenge. And we believe in sugaring up children. But more importantly, we believe in teaching children how to navigate the Word of God. So we'll do Bible Head Challenge. And we're going to, I've got six candy bars. That's all I got today. So everybody's like, oh, man. So we're going to go the first one that I see that has their Bible Head Challenge, their Bible Head on. The first one I see gets it, okay? So you ready? Kids, you ready? New Life kids, if you're ready, say, uh-huh. All right, here it is, Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 8, boom. Wow, Duke. There you go, Duke. Woo! Now the question is, did you do that on your own, Duke? Right on, that was fast, buddy. Let's read what the word says. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, it should be on the screen. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the first choice step that we take, that Jesus asks us to take after we have accepted Christ as our Savior, after we've accepted his gift of grace, is that we're to follow him into water baptism. So it's the first command that we get to follow as a Christ follower. So Jesus is saying, after you put your faith in me, right, I want you to let the world know that you belong to me by being baptized in water. Does that make sense? If it makes sense, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, the Greek word in the New Testament for baptism, to baptize, is baptizo. Everybody say baptizo. Baptizo. Say it one more time. Baptizo. Now you know Greek. That was easy. Baptizo. And what it means is this. The definition is this. It is to immerse or to submerge. Right? Poof, you get dunked. Right? To immerse or submerge. Now, again, there are four people that are making a statement of faith today and taking this next step of obedience. There's three adults and one new life kid. And we're excited about this. It is an awesome thing that they're going to experience. But here's the thing we got to get a hold of. Baptism isn't just about salvation, right? Hear this. It's about identification. Let me say that again, because that's good. So baptism is not just about salvation. It's about identification. I'm identifying myself as a Christ follower, right? And you're saying, I belong to Jesus. Isn't that cool? There's two of you. It's cool, right? You're saying that my sins are washed away, that I'm going to make the decision to take this next step with Jesus, and that whether I've been a Christian for 2 days or 22 years, I'm making a decision to follow him the rest of my life. That's what we're saying. Now, the crazy thing about it, in the early church, when you look at it in Scripture, you see that there's an urgency that is taking place, right? Now, here's the crazy thing about it. You all heard about John the Baptist, right? He's the one that baptized. That's why John the Baptist. Just making sure everybody's awake. But the thing about it then is when you were baptized, you were confessing your sins to everybody out there. You were declaring, this is who I was, and because of Jesus, and when I come out of the water, this is who I'm going to be. Right? You are identifying. Now, we don't make you sit here and confess your sins to everybody. But what you are doing is you're identifying yourself and you're telling everybody out there that there's an inward change and you are expressing it outwardly and identifying yourself as a Christ follower. Picking up what I'm throwing down? But in the early church, there was this urgency that was attached to baptism. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Here's a scripture that talks about this urgency. When the people responded to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them to do is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we read further in verse 41 that they gladly received his word and were baptized. Now, the crazy thing about it, that story, that passage of scripture in Acts, if you guys remember the story of the upper room and God told, or Jesus told the disciples to go and wait for the gift, right? I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come. You guys know that story, right? So tradition says that they were in this upper room. Now, here's the crazy thing about it. Being that I was in Israel, one of the things that I learned, that the amount of people that were saved and then baptized were thousands, right? And baptism tanks in the first century didn't look like this. And they weren't 90-degree water. They were called mikvahs. And it was a spiritual cleansing. And you walked down in, and you dunked yourself, and you come back up. The only place that they could have baptized that many people was on the southern steps of Jerusalem, where they had like 15 or so mikvahs for being cleansed before they went to the temple. So it was an interesting thing, and the mikvahs were really cool, but it's natural water that runs through, and it doesn't pool up. It fills up, but then just keeps going, so it's a ritual thing. But very, very cold. So Bobby, I don't know where you are. You just really kind of just, when you got baptized in cold water, you were right there with the first century church. The rest of y'all that are getting it today, I don't know. But here's another example of this urgency. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Philip leads the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And it says this, "This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the Bible, the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near to it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was reading, "He was led by like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer in silence, he did not open his mouth." You guys know what that's referring to? Jesus, right? Jesus. "And in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." Then the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him of the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, right? Water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? What is hindering me from being baptized?" An urgency there, right? And then in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Apostle Paul is told to be baptized after his conversion. Now, these people were just, that we just looked at, responded to Jesus with just simple faith, right? The eunuch heard this. Philip told him about Jesus, and he's like, "Man, I want to receive that, and I want to get baptized." There was an urgency there that takes place that we don't see so much today. But there should be an urgency in that spot. When we receive the gift of grace, which is our salvation, then there should be an urgency to get baptized. There should be that. And that's that first step of faith. The second reason that it's significant is water baptism is a declaration of our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. Water baptism is stepping out of guilt and shame and insecurity and boldly saying, "I am a Jesus follower. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. My old is behind me and my new is in front of me." And we just walked through the book of Galatians and we talked about this freedom that's in Christ, right? It's a freedom that we have. The old man is gone, the new has come. And we're going to explain that a little bit more, but what we're doing is we're demonstrating to the world our identification with the crucified and risen Christ. And then when these folks get baptized today, they're saying, "I believe. I believe. I believe that he died. I believe, well, first of all, I believe that he came. And I believe he died. I believe on a cross. I believe that he was buried. I believe he was raised from the dead. And I believe he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he is Lord." That's what they're stating. So the third reason baptism is significant is this. Water baptism is a funeral. Pastor, that's weird. But think about it, right? Think about it. You are dying to the old self, right? You are dying. You get in this water and you go under. That is your burial. Boom, there's the funeral. The old guy is left in the water. You come up, it's resurrection. Right? You're the new. The old is gone, the new has come. You follow me? If you follow me, say, uh-huh. It's exciting. You're dying to the old sinful nature. It's an act of faith, which we testify both to God and to the world. You guys all get to be witnesses. You excited? You get to be witnesses of this testimony, that the person that goes under the water is dead and buried, and we are raised a new creation in Christ. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know," I love this, I underlined it in my thing, "don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" Funeral. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly be reunited with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Can we get a big amen there? Amen. What water baptism is public burial of the old life, right? Now there's another reason why we baptize through total immersion. This is the other reason. Typo, sorry. And not sprinkling water or pouring water over them. Next Biblehead challenge, and I'm going to read it right here. Kids, you ready? I'm going to give away two this time. What snap? Two. And if you've already won, you can't win again. Two. And I'm going to go one from this side and one from this side. So we're going to try this. You guys ready? I see all the Bibles up. Ooh, you guys make me happy. Here it is. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Ready. Boom. Got one back there and one right there. Ooh, you were close, buddy. Ooh, here it's coming. Boom. Where's the other one? There you go. Way to go. Way to go. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new what? New creation, a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has come. So I'm going to wrap this up so we can get, because I want to celebrate with these folks. The fourth one is water baptism is a resurrection. I've already alluded to that. It's a resurrection. Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were all also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So water baptism is saying, I'm dead to the old dude, the old person, the old guy, old girl, old woman, old man, old, gone. Am I making sense? The old person's gone. The old sinful life is gone. The old habits are gone. And from this day forward, I'm going to strive to live my life out for Jesus that brings glory to God. That's the old idea, right? You guys have heard me say this before, but Christian means little Christ. Little Christ. We're mini-me's, right? We're supposed to be mini-me's. So at this point, when you come up out of the water and it's the resurrection of a new creation, a new person, your slate's been wiped clean. Now your job is to strive on bringing glory to God with your life, right? Bringing glory to God, right? In Romans chapter 6, verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. He died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives for God. In the same way, everybody say in the same way. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what Paul's saying is don't go back playing with dead things. Don't go to dead places. Don't go to dead things. Don't go back to the dead habits. They're dead. Right? They're dead. Everybody say they're dead. Dead. Say it again like you mean it. They're dead. Dead. Right on. Man, you guys act like you believe this stuff. Right? The dead life is gone. Verse 12 goes on. Paul says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace and you're free. We just spent 6 weeks talking about being free in Christ. You're free. So I want to invite those that are getting baptized to come up front. Come on down. You're the next contestant of, I gotta take my watch off. What, huh? Yeah, if you guys wanna come up. Perfect. We're walking, we're walking. So, yeah, you're perfect. You're all good. We're so easy. We're going to have you guys come over here, come over there, some over here. So, we're excited. So, we've got these four amazing individuals that are going to identify with Christ. Now, here's the thing that we got to understand. They're not being baptized into the church, right? They're being baptized into Christ, okay? Not into a church. So we got to understand that. This is identifying them. So they get to come in and they're going to share briefly why they want to be baptized. And if you're family here and you want to take pictures, you're welcome to come down and take pictures.